And there was a certain disciple at Damascus, named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. And the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. And once again, we're here to open the Bible, preach the Word, calling all Canadians back to the Bible. There is no other authority for faith and practice. Now, I hope that you remember my Bible challenge. Read the Bible every day for 1 month. Start at John's Gospel, chapter 1. Go through each chapter of John's Gospel, and then go through the book of Romans. Read the Bible carefully and prayerfully, asking the Lord to reveal himself to you and give you true biblical gospel faith. You show me a man putting his faith to work, and I'll show you a man who is in love with his Bible and feeds upon it constantly. He wants to read it, study it meticulously, squeezing out every drop of truth so that he may know the God of the book. If you do that for 1 month, I guarantee it will change you, because this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I also have another challenge for you. Pray. Go ahead and pray unto God. Then spend even 20 minutes in prayer. Then do it every day or three times a day, as Daniel did and as many of God's people have learned to do. The Lord Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And the Apostle Paul advocated that we pray without ceasing. To be a man or woman of prayer is a powerful thing, for it takes the power of God in your soul to make you pray in the Spirit and in truth. I give you this challenge because in the dramatic conversion of the Apostle Paul, which we're going to look at this evening, Paul, when he was born of the Spirit of God, he instantly went to prayer and prayed with love and passion in his soul. Listen to this message today on Behold, He Prayeth. May it lead you to pray too. Now, back to the book of Acts here this evening, and we're going to look at verse 11, where Ananias discovered that the mark of Saul of Tarsus' conversion was that he was now a praying man.
And we read right there in the end of verse 8, "For behold, he prayeth." Ananias was fearful to go near Saul of Tarsus. He knew his mission to destroy the Christians. And God had to intervene and speak to Ananias and convince him that the Apostle Paul was now a praying man. And that ought to be always true in someone who is newly converted. Even the most unbelieving, ungodly atheist is turned to one who bows the knee and prays unto the Lord. And so I want to take this incident and to go through some pointers to help in prayer. Let's unite firstly and ask the Lord to just open his word and open our hearts, ministering to us. Father, we ask your blessing this evening, and we pray for the peace and the help of the Lord our God upon our time of ministry here. We thank thee for the power of the gospel, that it could turn a blasphemer, Paul the Apostle, to a humble, praying saint, crying out to God, and was marked as a man of prayer. Lord, we pray that that will mark our lives, that we will be men and women of prayer. And as we are called to give ourselves to prayer today and to prayer continually for your mercy upon our nation and our land, O Lord, I ask that we will rally together as a congregation to pray, to seek thy face, and to plead with thee for the mercy that you may grant us. And so teach us from your word, give utterance in the pulpit, but above all I pray that you will prepare every heart to receive thy word with grace. Now, I have a question for you at the very opening of our message this evening, and the question is, do you pray? Now, it's a tough question that may embarrass even some of the Lord's people, because many of God's people freely confess that they're very weak in prayer. Indeed, we all confess that we are weak when it comes to laying hold upon God in prayer. And there are many things that we would rather do. We would rather speak and preach the gospel. We'd rather work into midnight in our office or study or in some other business, rather than go into our closet and get alone with God. Now, ever since the beginning of time, there have been two peoples in the world, those who have called upon the Lord and those who refuse, those who take delight in communion with God and those who hate the idea of spending time with God. In the Old Testament prophecies referring to gathering in the nations and the Gentiles' peoples, the mark was that converts would call on the Lord's name. And here in Acts 9:11, we have a tremendous example of the power of conversion. When a man is born of the Spirit, he prayeth. And just think of it, he was a religious man all his life, he was a Pharisee, and yet this was the first time that he really prayed. Because up until now, it was just mere religiosity and hypocrisy. Now, it was a man burdened, broken, humbled, and truly praying according to the gospel. So Saul's surrender to the gospel was marked by the fact that he prayed. And prayer is the surest mark of a man's conversion to a life of faith in the Lord Jesus. And from this we learn, when people profess to be born again, we may expect that they will want to pray, that they will, in their own lives, their own walk with God, be men and women of prayer. When they come to church, that they will desire to pray. Now, this is the best of all fruit from a believer's life. It is a powerful thing to change a man from a rebel to a submissive, praying believer. And so our subject this evening is a man or woman of prayer in the making. A man or woman of prayer in the making. Firstly, I want to speak of the difficulties of prayer. Now, while prayer is the norm for all converts who are born of the Spirit and truly converted to the Lord Jesus, it is often a struggle to maintain a consistent prayer life and to have that sweet communion with the Lord. Now, we never read of Joshua wearying as a soldier in the battle, but we do read about Moses up on the mount, and he was holding up his arms in prayer, interceding for Israel, and his arms did become heavy, and they needed to be held up by Aaron and Hur. Moses needed support in prayer, and so does every Christian. We all need encouragement, we all need help and strength when it comes to the business of prayer. Now, the first difficulty you will face may be lack of time, and that is a battle. That is something that every Christian has to wrestle with. It requires discipline of managing time to be a man or woman of prayer. And you will need to have a set time to pray. And it's not for me to tell you when that set time will be. But in your daily schedule, morning, evening, noon, whatever works in your life, that you will have that time that is truly set aside by your own discipline. That's my time to meet with the Lord. We know that in the life of the Lord Jesus, that he laid aside time to pray. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 14 and to the verse 13, we will see how disciplined the Lord Jesus was in his own prayer life. And I think we can take the life of the Lord Jesus as our model. He was one who kept up constant communion with his Father. And this is a tremendous example to us. If you look at chapter 14 and verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by a ship into a desert place apart. Now notice that word, apart. And when the people heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And you can see how there was a struggle for time. Time to pray. Time to be alone with God. Also in verse 23 of the same verse, same chapter, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And then again in chapter 17, verse 1, you will see that this is another example of the habit which the Lord had. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, to be apart from everything. We were in Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, and we were noticing the discipline in the life of the Lord Jesus as he came apart, that he might be setting aside time to pray. And you'll read that two times, Matthew 14, 13, Matthew 14, 23, and again in Matthew 17, verse 1. And so we see a definite pattern in the life of the Lord Jesus. Now, the key to our prayer lives is to having such a pattern. Whatever it is, however it's done, that we will get alone, get apart with the Lord and spend that time in prayer. You may also face lack of peace and quiet. It is vital that you shut out the atmosphere of the world. Don't try to pray with the TV blaring in the background or some worldly music that you're overhearing as you attempt to pray. It takes quiet. It takes the private place. And you will find that when you get alone and settle yourself down and just spend time in the presence of the Lord, that He will meet with you. We have examples of Elijah, who was left at the brook Cherith for a number of years, and what a place of solitude that he could pray. Moses in the desert, it was a place of solitude that he might seek unto the Lord. You'll also find it difficult to pray if you lack Bible study. Now we're looking at the difficulties that we will find in prayer. There is the difficulty of time, the difficulty of discipline, the difficulty of finding peace and quiet. But also if we lack Bible study, we need to be guided by God's word as we would pray in the Lord's will. The neglect of the Bible is tantamount to saying, you do not wish to hear from the Lord. And then, of course, it's no surprise that if we do not wish to hear from the Lord, why would He want to hear from us? Indeed, this was an indictment in the days of Zechariah. It was said, therefore, it has come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. That's Zechariah 7:13. And so Bible study is imperative for prayer. And as you give yourself to searching the scriptures, meditating, memorizing the word of God, letting that word sink into your heart and life, you will find prayer so much more easy. You will find it great to pray. You will get into fellowship with God. Then also a lack of focus will hinder us in our praying. By that I mean we need to pray with specific prayer requests. Our Lord Jesus said that in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And so we need to pray specific prayer requests in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's a specific person. And so a specific request through a specific mediator with a specific purpose. And that enables us to pray more effectively. With that focus, we know what we're asking for, we know the name through whom we come to pray, and we pray with all our hearts. L.E. Maxwell, who was the founder of Three Hills Bible College, just north of Calgary in Alberta, he had his students at the Bible College keep a prayer journal. And that proved to be a wonderful help because it kept each young Christian focused on what they were praying for, and they could write down the very items that they were asking of God. And that's something that's very needful and helpful in our Christian lives. Another thing that hinders prayer is lack of purity, lack of godliness. Sin will hinder your praying, just as sin will hinder your Bible reading. The Bible says in so many ways and in so many places that our sin nature within will try to take over. Sin is like weeds in a patch of ground that is not tilled and sown. It will just totally take over. And so if we live worldly, if we live tolerating sin, well, it will greatly affect and hinder our prayer lives. There is a specific verse I have in mind for this, and it's in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. And so if you would just note that, I'll read it, but you can note the verse, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is the ear heavy, that it cannot hear. And so that's good to know. That's wonderful to know. God is not limited. God is not reluctant. God will hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. That is tragic. And of course, we need to confess, seek the cleansing of the Lord, depart from all known sin, that we might be men and women of prayer. And one time there was a vessel bound for Lisbon, and it had a crew of 8 men, 2 of whom were professors of Christianity. And one, over the period of the voyage, sought opportunity to be a witness and to tell the crew and others on board of the Savior. And he witnessed day and daily. And then when he was winning some people over to the gospel, the other professing Christian came alongside and said he wanted to help too. But the people on board were having none of it, because they witnessed his careless life all along, and they would not hear of that carnal, fleshly man taking part in presenting the gospel. And so, likewise with our prayer lives. It's not just words. We pray with our whole life. And it's our witness, it's our testimony, it's our character, it's our whole demeanor that we come to God. And so we need to pray for holiness of life. And we're told in James 5 that it is the prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. And so if you would be a man or woman of prayer, you need to pray firstly that you be righteous. Now, of course, we need to plead the righteousness of Christ. None of us are perfect. None of us are sinless. But as gospel believers, we have the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And it's good to plead that in prayer as we come to seek the Lord. And we read in 1 John 2, verse 1, that Jesus Christ the righteous is our advocate. What a wonderful, perfect, sinless mediator we have at God's right hand. And we should be copies of the righteous one as we come to the Lord in prayer.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I hope the message has challenged your heart, and that you will today find a Bible, read it with all your heart, taking up my Bible challenge to read John's Gospel and the Book of Romans. A few years before the war, a humble villager in eastern Poland received a Bible from a colporteur who visited his small hamlet. He read it, was converted, and passed the book on to others. Through that one Bible, 200 more became believers. When the colporteur Michael Billister revisited the town in the summer of 1940, the group gathered to worship and listen to his preaching. Billister suggested that instead of giving the customary testimonies, that they all recite verses of Scripture. Thereupon a man arose and asked, "Perhaps we have misunderstood. Did you mean verses or chapters? Do you mean to say there are people here who can recite chapters of the Bible?" asked Mr. Billister in astonishment. That was precisely the case. Those villagers had memorized not only chapters, but whole books of the Bible. 13 knew Matthew and Luke and half of Genesis. One had committed all the Psalms to memory. Together, the 200 knew virtually the entire Bible. passed around from family to family and brought to the gathering on Sundays, the old book had become so worn with use that its pages were hardly legible. I wonder today about your Bible. Firstly, where is it? And is it dusty because of lack of use? So many may have various copies of the Bible in their possession, but have really never read, nor studied, nor prayed over the book. And there lies the problem, because the Word of God must take root in your heart, just as seeds that are planted in the ground need to germinate that they may bring forth new life. Without that seed, there can be no life. And the Bible is the seed. It is the Word of God. And we are converted by the power of that Word. And I beseech you that you give yourselves to the Bible, that you memorize those great gospel truths that are contained in the Gospels, the Gospel of John, I'm highly recommending. And then, of course, the book of Romans, which gives you the exposition of the Bible, expounding it marvelously. I wish that I could open the Bible with you and explain further the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Here is the ABC. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. That's the A. B, here's the remedy now. B, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You must look unto the Lord Jesus. You must behold him as God's Lamb, as the substitutionary Savior who died in the sinner's place. And then C, call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. That's Romans 10:13, and it's a great promise. And I assure you that if you, at this hour, will call on the Lord, he will save your soul. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.